Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T, rolling once again with the J-C-D.
What up?
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
Welcome to another edition of Oh You Didn't Know Radio. We have a full house here in the studio tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment. Some plugs here just to start. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check it out for lots of great articles. Our host for Oh You Didn't Know Radio each and every week, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com Radio. Check out my site, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, G-U-T-T, WrenchPowerBlog.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Check out John J-C-D at J-C-D-1219-N-Y. 1219 as in the last time that we had no special guest here on the show. Also, a new regular co-host with us, the Prophet Rick Craig is with us. Welcome to back to the show, Rick.
Thank you, sir. And it's nice to have the Gut Father back in the house this week.
Thank you very much. Check out Rick Craig's Facebook group, Pro Wrestling Obsession. Lots of great conversations there every day, don't you think, Rick?
Absolutely, sir.
Exactly. And also joining us here in the studio is TLD.
Hello, everybody. And by the way, did he just call you the Gut Father?
He did. He created that idea himself.
It's funny because I think the show works great because your opening intro works perfectly with JCD, and then we have TLD. It just rhymes perfectly together. I mean, we should just have a new intro just like that. It works perfectly.
That'd be awesome.
You sound like an independent tag team.
That's right. Let's trademark it.
But the four of
let's
us.
Let's do it.
It's not just the four of us. We also have our special guest for tonight, Jeff Gorman. Welcome to the show, Jeff Gorman.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jeff is going to speak to us in just a little bit about Make Room for Gorman. He wants to become the first person to take the TNA Gut Check Challenge to be an announcer. So we'll hear from Jeff in just a moment. But before we get to that, we know there's a lot of news also going on, especially as it relates to Jack Swagger. But before we get to that, I was talking on Twitter about giving away a free prize. So I just want to mention that. I have with me a white CM Punk Best in the World t-shirt, also known as Uncle Pepsi.
Ha.
Gotta throw that in there.
We're going to get that over.
We're going to get that trending on Twitter, hashtag Uncle Pepsi.
Definitely.
Oh, I'll start it now.
If you want to win the white CM Punk Best in the World t-shirt, you need to be one of the next 10 people to tweet me, at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T, tweet me, I want to win, hashtag O-U-D-K radio. Tweet me, at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T, I want to win, hashtag O-U-D-K radio. One of the first 10 people to do so will win this free white CM Punk Best in the World t-shirt.
Extra small.
Actually, it's a large. Which is why I'm giving it away, because it doesn't fit me. But any case, let's get started with the show, and let's get started with Jeff, our special guest, who wants to become the first announcer to take the TNA Gut Check Challenge. So, Jeff, take away. Let us know your... everything that's going on with you and how your goal is coming along.
Well, to sum it up, I started announcing in mid-Ohio in the Mansfield area, the ASWA, back in 1994. That's where Chris Harris was actually starting out. I moved over to Pittsburgh with Steel City Wrestling and IWC with Norm Connors. I was able to work for Chikara for a little bit. And then in 2002, I got the big break to get into Ring of Honor, which was really kind of a career-defining moment for me. I was able to announce the debut matches for CM Punk, Samoa Joe, Colt Cabana. Got to do some good stuff with them for a few years. Then I was able to move over to MMA and get involved in that, and I did an MMA pay-per-view in 2010. But what I'm trying to do right now is to make that elusive step to get up to Impact Wrestling. And when they started the Gut Check Challenge with the wrestlers last year, I knew that I had to jump in on that and immediately start challenging them, because I knew that after a while, after several months, they might want to change things up, do something different, and maybe they could give me a chance as an announcer. So I challenge them every month. I started out with Twitter. Now I've been making some videos. The next one's going to come out next week, a week from tomorrow, during Impact Live. And it's going to – basically, I'm trying to encourage people to tweet Impact Wrestling and TNA Dixie and ask them to hashtag make room for Gorman to give me a chance to show what I can do as an announcer.
Very interesting, and I've been following along, watching your videos, very entertaining videos. I suggest everyone check it out. You can actually learn a lot about announcing for wrestling and sports in general through Jeff's videos, so definitely check them out. JCD, you and I were talking about this the other night when we attended FWE Wrestling, which we should also talk about at some point later on.
Yeah.
But I want you to bring up your question for Jeff that we were discussing.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
All right, I got a question for you, and Seth knows, I've been trying to really wrap my head around this concept and how you want to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though, that I can't really, really, really get it. I'm hoping you can give me some clarity on it.
Okay.
Considering TNA just kind of, I don't want to say changed, they kind of blew up their announced situation. They've got the new guy now with Tanae, and Taz is now as a heel. I'm just trying to kind of understand, what would the benefit be of trying to get to them when they just kind of made the change and they only really have one show, whereas, WWE, they have probably 6, 7, 8 shows, including the stuff now that they're doing on Classics. Have you considered going to them, or is TNA, the only way you want to go about it?
Well, I think WWE probably has a whole room full of my tapes that I've sent them over the last 15 years. So they should know that I at least exist out there. It's just that it's hard to actually get that door cracked open. And so I'm trying to go by the gut check way with TNA. But that I'm glad you mentioned that, because part of my strategy, which I'm going to sort of lay out in the March and April videos, if they haven't given me a chance by then, is I'm going to advance the theory that I think that they need to come up with another show, and I think it needs to be on Monday night, and I think it needs to focus on the parts of their company that WWE is not paying attention to, and I'm talking about the X Division, the Knockouts, and the Tag Teams. All they need is a one-hour show on Monday night featuring those divisions, and maybe throw in a nice main event to lead into that Thursday's Impact, and I think they would be really surprised at how well that would work out, especially if I'm announcing it. Because, Monday night, that's where the wrestling fans are. That is traditionally wrestling night, and the audience is just sitting right there for them to pick up. All they need is a one-hour show.
The funny thing, Jeff, is this is not the first time I've heard this. In fact, I've heard rumors over the last 6 months or so that TNA was considering doing an X Division show and having a second show through the week. With their popularity now obviously going overseas into Great Britain, shows could start popping up all over the place, especially now they're going live and as well in the States. There's some potential down the road, and you might actually be jumping in at just the right time for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm kind of surprised that Taz is even still there from a storyline standpoint. I thought that he would have to go out and be in that clubhouse with the other members of Aces and Eights. I'm really kind of surprised that they have him still sitting there announcing. But, you know, they can always come out and do that. They can say, hey, you have an ironclad contract, but you have to sit out with the other bikers. They could say that.
Yeah, I was very surprised also to see, you know, Taz not do a whole lot differently other than, you know, speaking as a heel, you know. TLD, you got anything?
Dude, I'm just here to wear the T-shirt.
I've had now 4 people tweet at me, so there's still opportunities if anyone is listening. If they want to win a free Uncle Pepsi T-shirt, tweet me. I want to win hashtag OUDK Radio. Now, back to our
radio. I do have a question. So this is kind of a tradition that we've done with anybody we've interviewed. I assume, I guess you've been on a lot of – I would like to hear a road story because I always like to hear the road stories if you have any of those.
Well, yeah, I think a good road story would be it actually kicks off my book, This Side of the Mic, which I'll mention in a second as far as how your readers can get that. The one show that was probably kind of the craziest was when I went there to announce. It was in Steubenville, Ohio, but they already had a couple country DJs who were announcing, and so they threw me in there as a referee, which I'd never done before. And so they just put a striped shirt on me and threw me in the ring. They told me what to do. Of course, nothing went as planned. I got punched in the face really hard in the first match. The third match was Big Bully Busick against Cousin Luke, and they were supposed to just shove me down for double disqualification, but they started throwing me out of the ring, which I had never, you know, trained to do, and I landed on my head, and the fans were just sort of eating it up. And not only did I get hurt, not do the job I was supposed to do, didn't get paid, and got a speeding ticket on my home.
Well, speeding tickets
like
are deadly.
That's
good times, great memories.
Have you worked for them since, Jeff?
No, I don't think anybody's worked for them since. I think that was the one and only show for that promotion.
How many different promotions have you worked for? What is your, you know, resume look like?
Pretty much more than I can count. I'm sure I've worked for a lot of IWA, probably 4 or 5 of them. You know, Chikara, Ring of Honor, IWC, most of them in the Cleveland and Pittsburgh area, but of course Ring of Honor, I was able to do the first show in Pittsburgh, the first show in Dayton, the first show in Chicago, as well as go out to Philly to call the play-by-play for some of their stuff. Before I forget, let me mention that if you guys want my book, This Side of the Mic, all you have to do is mention that you heard it here on Oh You Didn't Know Radio. Just email Jeff at MMASpecialist.com, and you can get the book, and it's shipped to you, and it's autographed for just a total of $12. So I have to make sure I get that plug in it.
Yeah, great deal. Great deal. What other questions do you have, JCD?
I'm good. I really, like I said, you and I spoke about this Saturday night. I really needed to understand that, and you know, at least it makes a little more sense now where the idea is coming from. So I get it, Jeff.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm trying to be sort of respectful. I'm not saying that any of their announcers are doing bad. That's why in my videos I say you pull up an extra chair and make room for Gorman. I think they're all doing very well, even in the WWE. I don't think there's really any announcers out there on the main stage who are doing a really bad job. But that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to set myself apart and say that if I'm given a chance that I can be one of the greats. I'm trying to establish myself as someone who knows all the moves, and that's with the commentary class videos with the wrestling action figures. And actually, the next one next week is going to be another one with the action figures, which is always a lot of fun. And I think another thing about being a great announcer, I think you really have to be a strong advocate for the baby faces and really sort of establish their sort of their goodness so that the badness of the heels can really shine through and really put over the bad guys as bad guys, which I think doesn't happen very often. Like, I think Aces and Eights really needs to be pushed as a real threat to the very livelihood of the company itself, rather than, well, did they win a match? Did they lose a match? I think that really has to be emphasized that they're out to destroy the company. They're attacking Hulk Hogan. They're attacking Kurt Angle. They're attacking all.
Yeah, except the company is ruining itself.
Yeah, they're more of a victim of just bad booking. You know, you know, that has nothing to do with, you know, Tanay or Taz or Bore or anyone else not getting them over. They're just being booked like crap.
Absolutely.
Jeff, you actually segued into my next question that I was going to ask you. This side of the mic. That's your book, your book coming out this side of the mic. What made you decide to write a book?
Is Jeff still with us? I'm not sure. We might have lost him, but we will get him back. Let's get him back on here. We're having a little bit of technical.
Meanwhile, go to tldrussell.com while you're waiting for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I knew that was coming.
It always is.
What are you saying?
You can still tweet me for a chance to win that CM Punk Uncle Pepsi white best in the world t-shirt. Tweet me, I want to win, hashtag OUDK radio. Still waiting.
I might have to do, we might have to do something for the 100 JCD 1219NY Twitter follower.
How many do you have now?
I think I'm at like 72. I am growing.
Once you get to 100, we'll have to give away something.
Yeah, for the 100th person.
Yeah. Still having a little bit of technical difficulty, so we'll have to come back.
All right. So
I was hoping this wasn't happening.
TLD, exactly. The two shows you and I did this past week, we didn't have issues like this.
No, we did not.
Well, this is a Skype issue, actually.
Yeah, as they always say. Blame it on Skype.
TLD, what do you think about the Jack Swagger situation?
Ooh, we're going right into that. I guess we're out of ideas. Yeah, that sucks a lot. Hashtag marijuana. That really stinks. I don't know what to say. You know, the guy screwed himself. He pulled a Rob Van Dam 2006 here. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, but look at the bright side of this. They have a lot of ways they can get out of this because they have a money in the bank briefcase still hanging around. So it sucks for him. I think he did it to himself. You know, he doesn't deserve to be in the main event at WrestleMania. And it sucks because this was an awesome gimmick that now I don't even know if he could even recuperate. Is this his first violation?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, well, I don't remember him violating anything else.
He's never had anything. And you know, all these people that were coming out today and saying, oh, Swagger's a major pothead. Really? The guy's been in the company for over 5 years, hasn't had one violation. And they test for that. So, you know, let's not make Swagger out to be RVD or, you know.
I mean, we got DUI, we got marijuana, speeding. I mean, he's got a lot of different things on his, on his head, you know.
All right, let's pause the conversation for a moment.
Okay.
Area code 301, is this Jeff? Hello?
No, this is actually his brother, Rob.
Hey,
I'm calling in because I know you lost my brother on the line.
Oh,
and I was just listening into your show, and I think you were just about to ask my brother why he decided to write this book called This Side of the Mic.
Correct.
And you got cut off, technical difficulties or whatever, and I would like to volunteer an answer to that question, which is that I suggested that he should write it. You know, Ben's my son. I always get them confused. But, Jeff has had all sorts of fantastic stories about working in the independent wrestling circuit. And he had all these terrific stories. And I thought, you know, Jeff, you ought to put these together in a book. I mean, some of the crazy stories that you tell of coming back from, you know, a VFW hall or a high school gym or something in an independent wrestling federation with different, sometimes really pretty big-name people that are maybe a little past their prime or whatever, or up-and-comers, just great, great stories. And, you know, he would tell these stories around the dinner table, and I always told him, Jeff, you know, you ought to put these stories together in a book. And he finally took me up on it. And I think it was a way to kind of, you know, preserve a lot of this for posterity. But also, I had also sort of suggested that maybe he put in a focus of, you know, what does it take to really be a great commentator, and what does it take also to pursue, the main thing is, like, what does it take to really pursue your dream, right? Because this is something that Jeff has wanted to do for a very, very, very long time, ever since he was young. And, you know, so many people, both on the wrestling side and on the commentating, you know, the journalism side, work so hard and so long for no pay forever because this is a dream of theirs. And it's just something that's the perspective that I was hoping that he could put out there. I mean, I know people know, you know, what the wrestlers do to pursue their dream of making it to the WWF. But then, you know, my brother has his own story too. And it's just a great story to tell. So I figured that plus his journalism background would really, you know, make for an entertaining read. And it's a great book. I mean, I know I'm biased, but.
How long has the book
really
been out, Rob?
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Thanks, Rob.
Exactly what he has.
All right, see ya.
All right, thank you. And we do have Jeff back with us.
We talked about Uncle Pepsi. That's my kid's real Uncle Rob. That's cool that he called in while I was kicked off or somehow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Did you want to add anything to that, Jeff?
Well, I just wanted to kind of finish what I was talking about before as far as things that I would try to bring to the table as far as things that make a great announcer. First of all, making sure you know all the moves correctly. Second of all, putting over the heels very strongly. And the third thing I think that was something I really was hoping to do with Ring of Honor back in 2002. You know, of course, there was no money there and we weren't on television or anything. But what I longed to do was to do what they did in ECW, which was really put themselves forth as a strong third company as an alternative and really beat people over the head with, look, this style of wrestling is the best. And you could really say that back in 2002, 2004, Ring of Honor. You know all the people that came out there. And, you know, basically put over that style of wrestling as something strong. And I think Impact Wrestling, we can do that too as far as the things that they do with the knockouts and the X division and even the tag teams that is not being featured by the other company. And that's, I think, really a weapon that Impact Wrestling could use.
Absolutely. Jeff, one thing I was wondering was you've been doing this for how many months has it been going?
I started when the first TNA Gut Check Challenge happened on TV, which I think was last May, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So it's been almost a year.
Yeah.
Have you heard any sort of reply or anything from anyone in TNA or maybe anywhere else as a response to this?
Not yet. It's really kind of hard because you're sending things out on Twitter and you never know if someone's going to be, you know, seeing it or watching it. So I sort of sat down and wrote all the pertinent people letters just to make sure they knew I was out here trying to do this. I think this would really help them because I know, you know, they keep trying to tweak the system. Of course, they just went with two guys.
Jeff?
Gut check wrestlers against each other. I'm actually kind of surprised they haven't thrown out a gut check tag team, you know, a tag team match to see if the tag team can get hired. I think that eventually, you know, just when they're trying to think of something new, I think they'll eventually give me a try. I hope they do.
Absolutely. I definitely hope you do. I think you deserve it. Love your videos, like I said. Rick, do you have any other questions?
The only other question I had for Jeff tonight was you had mentioned Colt Cabana and CM Punk and Samoa Joe and getting to see them in their very early stages of their career. What do you think now? Did they go as far as you think they would? Were you surprised? What do you think of their character development? And I guess what do you think of your former guys that you got to work with?
Well, I'm very proud of all of them. Of course, I don't think anybody thought that Punk would get as far as he did. You mentioned, you know, does anybody know that I'm doing this? Actually, the TNA Gut Check Twitter handle is following mine at Jeff D. Gorman. But anyway, you know, Punk going all the way to the top, you know, Samoa Joe going all the way to the top in Impact Wrestling. You know, he was the champ there for quite some time. And then Cabana, you know, I think that one of those companies needs to put him back in there because he can just do everything, and he's just so entertaining. I think that we'll see him back in one of the top two companies because he's just too good not to. And he can always say that at least he made it. You know, he got to WWE for a few months.
Yeah, I just started listening to his Art of Wrestling podcast. Jay at PW Powerhouse got me really into it. He is very talented. We also see him at the Pro Wrestling Syndicate shows for the most part. He's missed a couple here and there, but definitely.
And it's
very
funny, my family used to call him Uncle Coke because we would drive both Punk and Cabana from the Cleveland airport to the Pittsburgh show. So they were both the uncles when our kid was a baby.
Coke and Pepsi.
Uncle Coke and Uncle Pepsi.
Could they tell the difference?
Cool.
I think so.
TLD, you got anything else?
No, I'm good, man. I love hearing your interviews all the time, man. So I'm just enjoying all the interviews that you guys are doing. I'm playing with my new iPad, by the way, also.
I see you messaged me a very interesting song about Jack Swagger.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff, what made you decide to jump into MMA?
Well, it's funny. I wasn't really...
These don't happen when I'm on there.
MMA really wasn't really on my radar. I didn't even really watch it very well. But we just, our family, we moved, and we moved into it. I across the street was an MMA promoter. It was crazy. I just showed him my tape from a ROH Scramble. Oh, and boom, he put me on the Cleveland Indians Network, like right after the Indians games, our MMA show would come on. So we had about a year and a half run called Fight Fest, and it was right on Sports Time Ohio, and like lots of people were seeing it. It was amazing. It's funny because, you know, you kill yourself as hard as you can in wrestling, and then MMA things just went so much better just because I got just one of those breaks that, you know, I just happened to run into this guy. And then he disappeared for a couple years and then came back and we did the Mushin pay-per-view. You know, that was a big hit too, and that company would not have fallen apart. We were planning on doing a few more pay-per-views, you know, starting in Chicago was going to be the second one, and everybody was all buzzing about who was going to fight on that, but then the entire company fell apart. So, fortunately, I'm doing some MMA announcing right now in my hometown of Akron, so that's been going really well.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. You feel free to, you know, stay with us for the remainder of the show if you... feel like it, but please let everyone know how they could find you and how they could keep following you and helping you with your goal to become the first announcer to take the TNA Gut Check Challenge.
Great. Thank you, Seth and friends. If you want to check out my videos, just go to my YouTube channel, which is The Jeff D. Gorman. You can go to Twitter, which is at Jeff D. Gorman. And next week, a week from tomorrow, during Impact, I'll be debuting my sixth video, which will be the second commentary class video, which is with the action figures, teaching about how to call the moves, and it's really a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And once again, my book, This Side of the Mic, just it's $12 at Jeff. It's Jeff at MMAspecialist.com if you just want to shoot me an email. And if you want to support the cause, just email, or actually Twitter, TNA Dixie and Impact Wrestling, and tell them to hashtag make room for Gorman. And thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Good luck to you.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
No problem. All right.
Bye-bye.
Jeff Gorman, I really hope that he gets that opportunity. Very talented guy. Really like his videos. Everyone should check them out. And we're going to continue our show and continue our conversation about the infamous Jack Swagger. So let me throw it to Rick. Rick.
Yes, sir.
What do you expect in terms of a punishment or their lack of?
Well, since it's a first-time offense, I'm not expecting a lot. And to be honest, I'm half expecting this to get thrown into the storyline somehow. Conspiracy, something to that effect. I don't know. I just see something blowing up out of that to WWE's advantage. So I'm not sure we're going to see anything happen to Jack. He may lose his WrestleMania shot, but we'll see.
You make a really good point that because it's his first, offense, it might not be so bad. JCD, what do you think?
I am with that. I do not expect him to get fired. I don't even expect him to get, you know, suspended right now. What I think is going to happen is I think he's going to keep the match. They've put too much time into it, and I'm not spoiling anything, but a lot of this Del Rio's going to address him this Friday on SmackDown. They've announced that on WWE.com. I checked right before we went on the air. It's still on the page of WWE.com that Del Rio's going to address this Friday on SmackDown. I really do think they're going to go through with the story. I think I'm expecting them to go through with the match. I think what's going to happen is now I could see him just getting jobbed out ridiculously quick and, you know, embarrassed at WrestleMania. And I think the biggest winner in all this will probably be Dolph Ziggler. In what might be just pure, you know, batshit lucky coincidence, that way they stop with Ricardo stopping the cash in Monday night might play a role into how this all goes down. I could see Del Rio tapping out Swagger quick, Del Rio celebrating, here comes Ziggler with Langston and AJ. And I think this time you could see Langston take out Ricardo, Ziggler maybe blast Del Rio with the briefcase, cash in, and walk out the World Heavyweight title. And if you want to suspend Swagger after WrestleMania, you do that. But, you know, these people that are saying he's going to get fired, he's going to get this, I don't think so. And I think Rick's got something here. Depending on how well they want to keep this going with Mantell, they could play it into it. As me and Will talked about last night, Fox News has picked up on this character. I mean, I know it's Fox News, but still, it's mainstream attention. Now you add this onto it. I agree. I agree with Rick. There's no election this year. There's no nothing, and it's Triple H is a different type of guy. There may not be a lot out of this.
You make some very, very good points, John. But the thing is, what I think about is, people are all assuming that Del Rio is going to lose the title by WrestleMania. They've done a great job of building him as a top babyface, and he is totally over with the audience as the World Heavyweight Champion and doing great things for SmackDown. So Ziggler doesn't need to cash in between now and WrestleMania. He can hold on to it until much later on. We do have with us, welcome back to Oh You Didn't Know Radio, Sam, the Sam Factor.
Hey, what? Guys, what's going on? I missed you guys.
Yeah, welcome back, Sam. Hope all is well with you. What are your
Thanks,
thoughts
man.
On the Jack Swagger situation? What's going to happen to him?
I don't know, man. That was big news. I was just checking on my updates this afternoon, and I saw it, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. After this, like, huge, enormous push in no time, like, it's unbelievable. I see one of two things happening. I see either they pull a somebody like challenges him for his championship match at Mania on one of the upcoming Raws or SmackDowns. I see that, and then him losing his shot, and then, you know, then kind of fading into the woodwork, not necessarily getting released, but kind of, you know, getting humbled again. I mean, you know, why he had to take that time off and almost quit the business, you know, to begin with, is because he, you know, he had such a big head after his first title run. Or if that doesn't happen, I see him and Del Rio going at it at Mania, but then I see Swagger actually beating Del Rio for the title and then Ziggler cashing in and beating Swagger. And, you know, it being over, and then his whole world title, you know, time being done. I think that, I think, you know, just kind of an embarrassing thing for him to just win it for a couple seconds and then lose. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's a definite possibility. I was thinking in terms of the past between Ziggler and Swagger. They definitely share a past, former tag team partners, and shared Vicky Guerrero as their manager. Rick, what do you want to add to this?
Well, John and I talked last week about Del Rio, and I'm kind of jumping to a different topic, I guess. We had talked, and I think we both were in agreement that Del Rio, they are pushing that him, especially in the Hispanic markets, as the second coming of, I'm gone on record as saying Eddie Guerrero. If they keep working him correctly and keep doing the shenanigans that he's been doing and keep working with his, you know, his character development and his, you know, his promos and his talking ability and things like that, he could very well, you know, increase that. I don't see him losing before WrestleMania. I agree. I don't see him losing before WrestleMania, and I'm not even so sure he's going to lose at WrestleMania.
I agree. I think that they've done such a great job of building Del Rio Everyone's just assuming that Jack Swagger was going to beat him at WrestleMania. That wasn't necessarily going to happen.
And they love Ricardo. They loved Ricardo even before,
yeah.
You know, when Alberto was a heel, they loved Ricardo. They've got to give this a longer run than that.
I agree. JCD?
His heel runs
gonna,
have just fallen
apart.
I
don't think he was going to lose at WrestleMania. This, if anything, this was going to be a Extreme Rules or Over the Limit title change. You know, I kind of felt that. But now, I just, like I said a few minutes ago, I just think Swagger's going to get embarrassed at WrestleMania. I could see that match going like 4 minutes, and Del Rio's just going to put him in the armbar, and he's going to tap. And then I think that's when all hell's going to break loose with Ziggler. I really think they're gonna pull the trigger. That's what I think. I mean, Ziggler has been yo-yoed around so much that there has to be a payoff for him, unless there's something bigger, like somehow into the WWE title, which, you know, I've written an article with the help of a buddy of mine how that could happen. It's got to be the payoff for this. It's got to be.
TLD, when do you think Ziggler cashes in?
Oh, I think he's going to cash in at WrestleMania. I don't see any other way of this going. I think it's something we haven't seen yet with the Money in the Bank, and I think that'd be the perfect spot for it. I don't think there's any other time, unless they want to jump the gun now because of what happened. You know, that's the only reason why I would see them possibly jumping the gun now because of this whole situation. You know, I truly hope they don't. I think they should still go forward with it, but honestly, you know, they are a business. They have to do what's right. You know, there has to be punishment involved. You know, we did remember, if we do recall, there was that one situation with R-Truth. He got in trouble before Survivor Series, and he got to do his wrestling match, and then he served his suspension. You know, he hasn't done anything since. You know, I think they put a lot of investment on behind this. I think that maybe Swagger might still keep his shot. You know, Monday Night Raw is going to be pretty big next week. Now with this happening, you got this, you have Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman, and you have John Cena versus CM Punk. There's a lot of things going on, you know, I think on Monday night. It's going to be a big tell. Next week's going to be the biggest tell, I think, for WrestleMania.
It's interesting because they on Raw, they were building to next week so much. I just felt like everything was, this is going to happen next week. This is going to happen next week.
Well, it certainly wasn't going to happen in Lafayette, Louisiana. They barely said the name till the last 5 minutes when Rock got in there and actually told everybody where they were from this week.
That's a good point.
Look, this is my point on this, Seth, and then you can change the subject. Who says Ziggler's going to win? Even if he does try to cash in, I'm not convinced that's going to happen. You know, Del Rio's had two failed heel runs with the belt. They're putting a lot of time and investment into him being successful. Why would they pull the plug on him that quickly? I'm saying Del Rio has the belt after WrestleMania, and if Ziggler cashes in, he's going to fail.
The only reason I don't think that Ziggler is going to fail is because he's held it for so long. I think that it would really ruin Ziggler's character, and I really think that it would be very difficult for him to bounce back if he were to lose it.
And it hurts the Money in the Bank briefcase, too.
Well,
that's what it hurts more. It hurts the Money in the briefcase. It hurts that whole like idea more, I think.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, Cena was a guy who you can get away with doing that. And, you know, what it led to with Cena and even, you know, kind of being the catalyst for the Punk turn, you can get away with that in certain situations. When you're going to start having guys win the briefcase and lose it, it's going to take the value away from it. I agree with Sam on that 100%.
And me, because I'm the one that brought it up.
But Ziggler,
thanks very much.
Ziggler's a heel.
Yes.
They've got more on the line with Del Rio being a face.
Yeah, but more often than not, the chase will draw better than the, you know, the face chasing always seems to draw better than the face always coming out on top with the belt. You know, So you got to keep that in mind too. You know, a way to see how Del Rio's character will develop, especially as a face. Okay, it's great because he's the champion, and it's one thing to do this against Big Show. It's one thing to do it against a guy that is calling your entire culture a cancer on our society. You've got two genuine heat magnets right there. Now, let's see how you work without the belt and without a guy with anything extra going for him, just the guy that beat you for the belt by underhanded means, even though it's with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Let's see how you draw. This way, you know what, 6 months to a year from now, we'll know if we want to go back to you in this character as a champion.
Guys, we do have another caller with us. I'm going to take that. Area code 706. You're on with Oh You Didn't Know Radio. What's your name?
Hey, guys. This is Toph calling in.
Oh, good old Topher.
Oh, yeah.
You want to give us your take on the situation?
Two things are going to happen to Swagger. One, everything will go according to plan, like nothing happened. But in Mania, he'll lose. Then after that, we won't hear from Swagger for a while. Or, two,
okay,
he gets punished now, and they come up with something else. But I don't think they'll do that because, you know, they have gone through a lot of work with Swagger. Personally, what I would like to see, I think Ziggler cashing in at Mania is too predictable. Everyone's expecting that. So what I would do is I would do something similar to when CM Punk first cashed in. I would have Swagger go against Del Rio and have Swagger lose, whether or not it's a squash match or a good match. That's up to what WWE feels like. Del Rio wins. The very next night on Raw, Del Rio celebrates, and, you know, the pissed-off Swagger comes out and destroys Del Rio. And, you know, then someone fires him or suspends him, and then Ziggler cashes in. And as far as Ziggler failing, I see what you guys are saying, but you got to look at it from another perspective. My biggest beef with Money in the Bank is, well, with the exception of what happened to Cena last year, every single person that's cashed in is win. I do think that at some point, someone has to fail, because if someone fails, it takes away that, oh, if you win this, you're a guaranteed champion, you know? I think if someone loses, it's kind of going to make the Money in the Bank match, or the briefcase in general, more unpredictable. I think at some point it would kind of make it more interesting if someone did fail. The question is Ziggler the guy for that at this point in his career? Probably not.
Yeah.
We also have yet another caller coming in. We're going to go ahead and take this one more caller, area code 256. You're on with Oh You Didn't Know Radio. What's your name?
Matt Jackson, but I'm the admin Izanagi from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to give my thoughts on the whole Ziggler cashing in thing. I believe that for Ziggler and his gimmick, him cashing in at WrestleMania is the perfect time for him to literally steal the show, you know?
Why is that?
He'll just show, you know, like his whole gimmick, you know, is the show off sitting in the show and your girlfriend kind of deal. What's the best chance to prove that gimmick other than WrestleMania?
You make a very good point. And like I was saying to Rick just before, I think that it would really ruin Ziggler not to successfully cash in. I think that it would not be good for him. I don't see how he could be successful later on. I mean, he would have to do what Jack Swagger did. He would have to leave for a while and come back with a better gimmick.
I disagree. I think that Ziggler has the...
Hello? Oh, maybe...
Let me jump on this. Here's the problem if Ziggler fails cashing in. If Ziggler fails cashing in, then it makes... The reason why Ziggler couldn't rebound from this is because look at all the other shots Ziggler has had. Look at all the times Ziggler has jobbed to Del Rio, jobbed to Sheamus, jobbed to Cena. It makes it really seem like he doesn't belong. And if he fails at cashing in this thing, it's just going to push him. You might as well put him on Superstars every week or Saturday Morning Slam. Ziggler is not the guy to do this way. You want to do that a year from now? You want to do that 2 years from now? That's fine. It worked with Cena because it's Cena, and Cena could rebound from this. It could work with a bigger name guy. You can't do this to Ziggler. You can't. It wouldn't work. It would kill him. And you know what? If Ziggler loses to Del Rio, now there's Super Cena, there'll be El Supero Del Rio, and you know what? The little IWC playpen will be up in arms that we've got another superhero overcoming all these odds, and he shit all over their guy in Ziggler.
They did it to Swagger for 2 years.
Yeah.
He jobbed everybody known to mankind,
yeah,
and here he's back as a super bad guy.
Here's the difference with Swagger in 2010. Let's get this out there with Swagger. Swagger came literally out of nowhere, and Swagger, they tried to do it with Swagger on his own. And for the first month of that title reign, it worked. He beat Jericho out of nowhere. And everyone forgets, he tried to cash in on Raw on Cena the night after WrestleMania. Then he did it at that SmackDown on Jericho when no one saw that coming. He beat Orton at Extreme Rules, and he beat Orton clean. Everyone forgets that. Then he got into that stupid feud with Big Show where they screwed up with Swagger. I understand wanting to turn Edge heel right after WrestleMania. That's fine. What you could have done was, and this would have given Swagger the credibility, have him face Jericho and Edge in a triple threat at Extreme Rules and win. Then have him go into Over the Limit and beat Orton. That's fine. He should not have lost a Fatal 4-Way. That's where they dropped the ball on him. And the problem is then he lost to Mysterio again clean at Money in the Bank, and they decided to go with Kane. The problem was he had no mouthpiece. Now he's got a mouthpiece, which up until 24 hours ago was working with him. Watch SmackDown Friday night. You'll see how with the right booking and the right guy with him, this works. This would have worked. He screwed up. It's a different set of circumstances.
I agree. I think the most likely scenario is Del Rio still faces Swagger at WrestleMania, Del Rio wins, and Ziggler cashes in at Mania. And then we'll see a Del Rio-Ziggler feud for a while, because I think that they would put on some great matches as they have the last few weeks. Rick, what do you say?
Well, I'm going to disagree. I feel very strongly that Del Rio is going to keep his face pushed and he's going to still be champion. I also feel, Jack Swagger got buried for 2 years. They take him off TV for a few months. Now he's back as unbeatable. We're believing this. Why couldn't we believe in a Ziggler comeback? I don't know. I can see Ziggler failing and maybe turning face. I don't know. But I just don't see it happening.
It would be interesting to see Ziggler as a face. I've been wanting to see that for a while. He does remind me, we all know that he reminds people of Shawn Michaels and the way that Shawn Michaels started out as this, sexy boy show-off kind of gimmick, similar to Ziggler. So maybe he'll make the same kind of transformation.
As long as Super Johnny's the main face of the company, no one's going to get to work as a face. Look, this is exactly why Punk had to turn heel.
Well, then why hasn't Randy Orton turned heel?
Orton wants to. That's because they have no confidence in the redhead to run SmackDown.
Right. Well, what about Ryback?
We're really still putting him in that level with how far he's fallen?
I mean, I'm not necessarily, but I'm just putting out names of other possibly big name faces, though I personally think Ryback is on the verge of a heel turn.
Yep.
I do too.
Yep.
And
throw this out here too, Seth. This Raw SmackDown thing can go out the window. The company's going back into one company, so we can throw this I have to carry SmackDown away now.
Well, no, they do, though, because when was the last time, except for a special, that Cena worked SmackDown?
Well,
so
I think with Triple H is changing that, though, John. I think he's going to change.
Until you get all these guys on that show, you're still going to need main-level guys to to carry that show. There's a reason why Del Rio main event SmackDown and is on at 9:30 on Raw. It's because you know you've got Cena, you know you've got the movie star who's taking the belt hostage for the next 6 weeks. You know you've got those guys that are going to work Monday nights, but you don't have those guys that are going to work Tuesday nights, so they still need that draw that when you watch on Friday, that's what you're going to tune into. And I agree with you. They're killing the brand extension nicely, but they've got to get like that last 5% of those guys to work both shows. That's when you can throw that out the window, and that's why Orton is not a heel right now, because they never had faith in Sheamus to carry SmackDown on his own.
But what about why do they have to get them to do it? They work house shows. Why do they have to get them to work Tuesday nights? I don't understand. Is it in their contract that says I can't work Tuesday night?
Unfortunately, with the brand extension for 10 years that it ran, I work Monday, I work Thursday, I work Friday, I work Saturday. I work Tuesday, I work Friday, I work Saturday, I work Sunday. That's
well, John,
the problem.
This isn't TNA. This is WWE. Vince and Triple H see money, they're going to do what they have to do, and that's why Punk had made more appearances on SmackDown this year.
Rick, don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I would love to see everybody on both shows. I would love to see a follow-up on what happens Monday night with Punk clocking Cena in the head with the belt. I'd love to see that on Tuesday night. I mean, on Friday night. Don't get me wrong. But they aren't booking the shows like that. They're only booking about three-quarters of what happens on Raw to carry over into SmackDown. Then you've got that other quarter of SmackDown that's got to be filled with stuff, on top of that.
Well,
their problem.
Half of SmackDown filled with Raw replays.
Right, and the problem is they created this monster with Cena, with Dwayne, with this guy, with Lesnar, with Triple H. They created this monster, and that's why you have to have guys that need to carry that show.
I just want to say what Jay said in our chat here. Payment to JBL. The only reason you were champion for years is because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesday.
That was a great Heyman line.
Yep. I just want to take a one-minute break. I'm actually going to announce the winner of the CM Punk T-shirt here right now.
Drum roll.
And the winner is at Sweet Mobility. At Sweet Mobility has won the T-shirt, and I will be in contact with you. You can feel free to tweet me, follow me so that I can send you a direct message. I think that's how it works, right? Direct messages, and we'll go from there. We have about 6 minutes left in the, regular time show, but JCD, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you had talked about, John Cena will win the championship at Mania, and there's a big question mark as to what will happen after that.
Right.
What are your thoughts on a Ryback heel turn and Ryback starting a feud with John Cena?
I am 150% okay with that. They've got to do something. So why not do Ryback Cena? They set it up at the Rumble with, Ryback being the guy that got eliminated by Cena last. So you've got a little bit of that. Ryback kind of stormed off on Cena after the match at Elimination Chamber Sunday. Why not? Do it.
Rick, what do you think?
Oh, it makes sense. I mean, even on Monday night, Ryback was looking over at Sheamus and Cena after he was taken out and wondering where they were at. I'm just wondering where the Shield's going to play in all of this, too.
The Shield are very, very interesting in a very interesting situation. What more can they do in this current situation? People are loving the group. People think that, and I agree that they have shown such great teamwork throughout their matches. You can tell that they're watching out for one another. But how many different six-man tag team matches are we going to see until something different comes along? until there's a big change.
When are we going to go up for a title?
How about Ryback pays off the Shield to help him take out Cena?
Ryback joins the Shield?
Ryback hires the Shield.
I don't see Ryback hiring anybody.
I don't know that Ryback would do that. Ryback seems like the type that wants to beat the crap out of people himself.
Agreed.
Okay.
That would weaken Ryback badly, I think.
Well, so would a heel turn, though. This big dominant guy that's going to now have to cheat and be underhanded, that would hurt him, too. You know?
What were we saying about Ryback?
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, he's showing these heel tendencies right now. Sam, are you still with us?
Yeah, man.
Sam, what do you think about a Ryback heel turn?
I mean, I'd be fine with it. I don't know. I thought him going under, they got to do something with that, him taking the pin at Elimination Chamber. I thought it was going to be Sheamus, but they got to do something because, I mean, after WrestleMania, I mean, who do you have Cena feud with? I mean, personally, I'd like to see, I don't know how long you can keep the Shield together again, you know, obviously. I know I heard rumors that they might try to get the tag titles on them at one point, you know, but I mean, which two, you know, and then, I don't know. Personally, I'd like to see Dean Ambrose break away and start becoming the dominant heel I know he will be one day. I would like to see that. I think he's going to be the top heel, you know, sooner than later. I look forward to that. So,
I mean, if you think about Mark Henry for a minute, you know, he may not be active that much longer. Ryback could make for a very interesting monster heel, not the type that's the physique of a Mark Henry or even a Big Show, but this, you know, Goldberg sort of physique would make for a different kind of monster heel.
And I'm not so sure he'd go after Cena first anyway. I think he'd go through Sheamus first.
Maybe we could see Ryback Sheamus at WrestleMania.
I don't know. What about, you want something for Cena post WrestleMania? What about if Ziggler somehow finds a way to cash in on the WWE title winner?
And then we see Cena Ziggler again?
Yeah, that's been pretty recent.
I think Cena Ryback is the best situation, you know, two guys that are definitely over with the audience basically a fresh match since we've never seen them one-on-one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I'm just, you know, Cena's in a weird spot after Mania.
I just hope they don't do Cena Punk again.
Yeah, me too. We have less than a minute left in the live show. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Follow me at Seth Gutt, SCTHGUTT. Follow JCD, JCD1219NY. Check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/OUDIDN'TKNOWRADIO. Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. Right. Anything else we want to touch on tonight? JCD, anything?
Well, I've got next week's prize for a contest.
You do, do you? Do you want to say what it is, or do you want to win?
Yes. No. We'll come up with the terms for the contest next week. But as far as the prize goes, an original copy of WWE Unforgiven 1999.
Whoa, you're taking a DVD away from the collection?
Whoa, not the DVD, the original VHS.
Okay. I got
the collection is still intact.
Sam has the T-shirts from events that he goes to. I have my collection of wrestling chairs, and JCD has his DVDs.
Yep.
Rick, you have any wrestling collectibles?
Autographs.
Okay.
Yeah, more autographs than anything.
All right.
JCD, we said we were going to talk about TNA more this week. We haven't said a word about it this week.
Only because the show that I was thought was airing Thursday night is airing this Thursday.
Ah, okay.
I got my UK shows mixed up.
Okay.
Do you guys want to touch on TNA at all? Rick?
Last week was kind of uneventful. I don't think there was anything talk-worthy to you.
JCD?
John?
No, but next week we will. Just trust me.
Well, speaking of next week, let's give a rundown of our upcoming guests. Next week we will actually have ECW original Jason Knight will be with us.
Who just loves the business right now.
Oh, my God. You have to check him out on Facebook. He is a mouthful. The following week, we will have Ring of Honor star Adam Cole. So that'll be interesting. And March 13th, we will have the one and only Tugboat Typhoon Shockmaster, Fred Ottman. I want to give a thanks to you, Rick, for helping with that, because it was your Facebook group, Pro Wrestling Obsession, that everyone should join, that allowed us to connect with Fred.
You are welcome, sir.
Anything else we want to touch on tonight, guys? JCD, anything?
No, I'm good.
Rick, anything?
No, I think I'm good as well.
All right, then we can close it here. As I said, follow us on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt, JCD1219NY, SSchneid23. Rick, you're not so active on the Twitter, but...
I've got one, but I haven't checked it in probably 3 months, so not so much.
But definitely check his group out on Facebook, Pro Wrestling Us. Yes, Pro Wrestling Obsession. And check us all out on Facebook, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and Oh You Didn't Know Radio. Tune in next week when we have ECW original Jason Knight. And, of course, boys, if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you.
Suck it.
No, Jack Swagger? Nothing with Jack Swagger?
Sorry.
Fire him.
Dumbass.
Let's finish off with a few words from our good friend, the Big O.
Nice.
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned. We got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a good night.